Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter number 1 tonight. Matthew chapter number 1. I want to look at two verses here, and then we may be tonight looking also in the book of Joshua chapter number 2. But Matthew chapter number 1 tonight, and we'll begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz beget Obed of Ruth, and Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David the king. And David the king beget Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." Let's pray tonight. Father, Lord, I thank you for the evening. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation that is gathered tonight. Thank you for allowing me and my family to be part of such a wonderful assembly of God's people. Thank you for our pastor tonight. Lord, the blessing he is to me and my family. Lord, thank you for this opportunity this evening, Father, tonight. I pray tonight that you'd please, Lord, empty me of myself, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray you'd remove the nerves, Lord, tonight. I pray you'd give me good pace as I preach. Help me to do that which you've called me to do, and that's preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight from my audience, may they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. Bless now our time together, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So I begin to open up our thought tonight. I ask the question, what is a legacy? The term itself means something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor, or something received from the past. It means a gift, money, or personal property given by will or last testament. As I begin to think about what a legacy is, I think about people who have left me some things behind. I look back on people in my life that I have known who have left a godly and a good legacy. I think of my grandfather and the legacy that he left me. I think about men such as Steve Rollins and the legacy that he left me, and all the other people that influenced my life in a godly and a right way. I also think about those that have not left behind such a godly legacy. Those that have lived their life for the self or sin or the world and have ruined their lives. I consider both influences in my life. And I say tonight that I have taken instruction from both. I have learned the right way to do things, and I've learned the wrong way to do things because of people's individual legacies. Tonight, I'd like to open up by telling you a little bit about a man by the name of Robert Ballard. Now, most people have no clue who Robert Ballard is, but Robert Ballard is a famous and well-known oceanographer and explorer. Now, I did a good job saying that word, didn't I? Usually, I get tripped up here at this church for whatever reason. This pulpit has a mojo about it that I don't understand. But he's a famous oceanographer and an ocean explorer. In 1985, Robert Ballard would find the famous shipwreck of the ship called Titanic. Robert Ballard would also be credited with finding the German battleship Bismarck, the U.S. aircraft carrier Yorktown, and John F. Kennedy's famous PT boat, PT-109. In 1985, when he discovered the wreck of the Titanic, on a phone call to his mother said to him over the phone, "You'll never escape that rusty old boat." That was the statement that she made. As I began to read a recent article about Robert Ballard, he said this statement. He said, "My mother was always right." After 36 years and a very wonderful career in oceanography, he has not been able to escape that rusty old boat. The discovery of the Titanic, in fact, is his legacy. It is what he will leave behind. It is what he will be known for throughout the rest of history. Robert Ballard will forever be known as the man who found the Titanic. Tonight, I would simply like us to look at the legacy of a lady by the name of Rahab. Rahab, we often know, is Rahab the harlot. But I would like to look at the legacy of Rahab the mother. Rahab the mother. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, we have the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, the Bible tells us that this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That is both a tie to Christ's messianic place and his rightful place as king one day. We see that the book of Matthew as a whole presents Jesus Christ as king. Notice tonight in our text in verse 5, the Bible says, "And Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab." And in the middle of Christ's family, we find this woman by the name of Rahab. The story of Rahab is found in Joshua chapter number 2. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 1, Rahab is referred to as Rahab the harlot. Now we all know that a harlot is a prostitute or someone who behaves or acts as a harlot. Rahab in her life would hide 2 Jewish spies. And in return for her kindness, she would tie a scarlet line in her window. And her family would be spared God's judgment in the coming days. We often think about Rahab and refer to Rahab as Rahab the harlot. But if you'll notice here, we find in Matthew chapter number 1 that Rahab is Rahab the mother. We see that Salmon beget Boaz of Rahab. That word beget means to have children. It means to procreate, if you will. Rahab becomes a mother. Let me say tonight, the word beget means to be born, to be begotten. It refers to a woman giving childbirth. Rahab went from Rahab the harlot to Rahab the mother. Rahab would give birth to a son by the name of Boaz. This man's name, also we know him by the name Boaz. And this man is the story that we find in Ruth. Consider this tonight, from Salmon and Rahab would come Boaz. From Boaz and Ruth would come Obed. From Obed would come Jesse, from Jesse David, and from David a royal line that would lead all the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see tonight, without Rahab the mother, you would not have Boaz. Without Boaz, you would not have David. Without David, you would not have the Messiah. I would say tonight that Rahab the mother played an important role in the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we consider this role that Rahab would play, I'd simply like to give you about 3 things concerning Rahab the mother, the legacy of this lady. Number one, I noticed, considering this lady, I noticed a changed past. A changed past. We see that Rahab was known as a harlot in Joshua chapter 2. But by the time we get to Matthew chapter number 1, she is simply known as Rahab, the one that would beget Boaz. We see that Rahab was known as a working girl in her past. She was known as a lady of the night, if you will. Her life up to Joshua chapter number 2 was a life filled with sin and wickedness. She was not a respectable citizen of the town called Jericho. No doubt many looked down on her and they looked down on her lifestyle. Rahab was probably a reject and an outcast in her society. Her past was not of noble upbringing. Her situation could have been a result of hardship in life. We do not know, but we say that Rahab's past was not a very good past. Now let me say quickly tonight, just because of her situation and just because her life could have been a result of hardship. Hardship does not give reason for me and you to sin. Hardship does not give reason for anyone to live in sin. Even though we have hardship in life and even though individuals have hardship in life, it does not give an individual license to live or to continue in that sin. More than likely, I say this tonight, Rahab never intended her life to be what it was. Many of you know, if you grew up in the 80s and the early 90s, you've heard the old commercial, no one ever says when they want to grow up, no one ever says they want to be a junkie. Anybody remember those commercials? I remember those commercials, and I think about that, and I just told how old I was. But I think about Rahab. If you were to go back to Rahab when she was younger, I guarantee you she never intended her life to be the way it was. But whatever reason, her life went in this direction. I say tonight that Rahab's life was changed, however. Her past changed. You say, what happened in her life? Well, let me say this quickly tonight. One night changed her life. One night changed her life. Joshua would send 2 spies into the land of Jericho to spy out the land and to see what was in the land. And they would come to the house of this lady by the name of Rahab the harlot. In Joshua 2 and verse 2 it says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." I say tonight, this night would forever change Rahab's life. Let me say tonight that all it takes is one time for a life to forever be changed. God had a plan for this lady's life, and He sent two spies as a part of that plan. Consider this tonight, all it took was one Wednesday night to change my life. As I stood on a church pew as a 16-year-old boy under the preaching of my pastor, and how my pastor talked about the strong delusion that would come after the rapture, and the Holy Ghost of God would begin to convict my heart. That night the Spirit of God would get into the bed with me and would not allow me to go to sleep. He would get me from my bed to my parents' bedroom floor. He would get me from my parents' bedroom floor to my living room. And He would eventually get me on my knees where I would trust Christ as Savior. And I say tonight, that night absolutely changed my life. I have never been the same since. I think about it tonight, and all it took for you was one night. Was that night where you realized you needed to be saved, or that morning, or that afternoon, or that time of day that it happened in your life. God sent someone our way with a message, and we've never been the same since. Our past have been absolutely changed. I think about not only did one night change her life, but one confession changed her life. Joshua 2 in verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And as soon as we heard these things," this is Rahab speaking to the spies, "and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God," notice what she says here, "He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Rahab just confessed and believed in the one and true living God. Now let me say this tonight. In order for a man or a woman to be saved, they must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. They must put their faith and trust in Him. I say tonight that Rahab lived in a city that was full of idol worship. They offered sacrifices to gods of stone and gods of wood, gods that were dead. But notice Rahab had heard about what the God of Israel had been doing. In verse 11, she had heard about the power of the God of Israel. And she turned from her gods of stone and her gods of wood to the true and living God and confessed Him as God in heaven above and earth beneath. I think about this tonight. You remember when you heard about the power of the God of the Bible. You heard about the power He had to forgive your deepest, darkest sin. He had the power to wash you clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the power to overcome addiction and that sinful nature that abides within. He had the power to keep you and to give you an everlasting salvation. He had the power to seat you in heavenly places. And He has the power and had the power to give you an eternal home. I say tonight we need to remember when we cried out and believed on the Lord Jesus and the one confession that changed our life. I say not only did one night change her life, did one confession change her life, but a fulfilled promise changed her life. Joshua 6:25, the Bible says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive." I think about as this phrase is a beautiful phrase that Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Later on in that same verse, the Bible says she dwelleth in Israel. The word save means to live, to have life, to quicken. Like everyone else in Jericho, Rahab was under the death sentence. But because of her faith and believing in the God of Israel, her life was spared. Not only was her life spared, but I see that she dwelled in Israel. Rahab was no longer an enemy, but a citizen. The word dwell means to abide in a permanent residence or to remain forever. When salvation comes our way, we receive life and life more abundantly. Not only that, but we also become a citizen of a heavenly country. When our lives are wrecked by sin, God took us and gave us a new life and gave us a dwelling place. I see tonight that Rahab had a changed past. She had a changed past because one night changed her life. Because one confession changed her life, and because a promise was fulfilled. Let me say tonight that the Holy Spirit of God, if He's dealing with you, and you need to make a confession tonight, and you need to allow this night to be the night that changed your life, Christ will fulfill the promise. Then not only that, but I see Rahab, the legacy of a mother. Not only do I see this matter of a changed past, but I see a great display of faith. A great display of faith. I think about the second part of Rahab's story is her faith in the Lord. See, her salvation, even in the Old Testament, was by faith, trusting in the God of Israel. I say in Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab displayed her faith by the line of scarlet thread. We know the story. There was an arrangement made there with those spies. And those spies said, "This thread that you're letting us down by, you hang it out your window and we'll know that that's the house that you live in. God will spare you for that." I think about this tonight. Have you ever thought about Rahab and her position on the wall? She lived on that wall. Consider this tonight, as the nation of Israel began to execute God's plan. On day one, Israel would come and march around the wall and nothing would happen. On day two, Israel would come and march around the wall of Jericho. Nothing would happen. Day three, day four, day five, day six, they would do the same thing and the result would stay the same. Consider tonight that Rahab on day six says, "I'm done with this, I'm pulling that thread in." What would have happened on day seven? But Rahab allowed her faith to remain on display. And day seven came once, twice, three times. All these times came around. And by the seventh time, they would hear the trumpets blow. And those walls would fall flat. I think about every time that Israel would march around the wall, they would get to the certain point of that house. And they would look up and they said, "That's Rahab's house. That's the scarlet thread. She's displaying her faith in the God of Israel." Think about Israel for years to come. Would talk about Rahab and her thread of scarlet. Preachers would preach on Rahab and her thread of scarlet. In my mind, I cannot help but imagine that one day, old Salmon, Rahab's husband, would go get Boaz and would tell him the story of his mother's faith. He would say, "You're here as a result of the fact that your mother had faith in the God of Israel, that your mother displayed her faith." I think about this tonight for those of us that are believers. Our legacy of faith should be on display. I should be able to tell my children about what God has done by faith. I think about this tonight, last Wednesday night, as we were headed up Highway 70 on the way home, and my daughter began to question why we had to stand outside and what all was going on. I was able to tell her by faith what God had done for us in our lives. I think about every time my daughter, as she looks at that little white dog named Betty White, how that me and Mom said, "You ain't getting a dog unless God gives it to you." And my little daughter would pray and pray and pray. And guess what? I've got a dog in my house. I don't make no sense. That ain't me. But what happened is I was trying to get her to understand that if we have faith in the God of heaven, if we trust the God of heaven, He'll give us the very desires of our heart. I say tonight that our home, we should be able to sit down and talk about God's faithfulness, talk about how God answered prayers and provide needs. I hope one day that my children and my grandchildren will say of their father and their granddad that he was faithful to what God called him to do. He preached to thousands, saw countless souls saved, and lives changed. I think about this tonight. You may be here tonight and you're a believer and you know the Lord. Let me ask you this. When's the last time your faith was on display? When we go out into society, can society say that that individual knows the Lord and their faith is on display? I say tonight it would do some Christians good to go get a scarlet thread and throw it out the window and say, "You know what? I'm going to display faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to live for God no matter what's going on around me, no matter how difficult it be." I think about as men and women drive up and down this road, we ought to have a scarlet thread thrown out the window of Tabernacle Baptist Church saying, "By faith we're going forward. By faith we're going to help those ladies. By faith we're going to win souls. By faith we're going to support missionaries. By faith we're going to go forward and see a great work for the Lord." Then I see, thirdly tonight, considering Rahab's legacy, I see a household rescued. A household rescued. Have you ever thought about how our legacy affects our family and friends? Because of Rahab's past, because of her faith, her entire family was rescued. It was Rahab who brought the spies into her home. It was Rahab that confessed that the God of Israel was the only true and living God. It was Rahab who hung the scarlet thread out the window. It was Rahab who was first brought out of Jericho. However, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter number, I didn't write the chapter down, but it's verse 17. Forgive me for that. Thank the Lord I got it on computer and go back and fix it easy. Anyway, but it says in that verse 17, it says, only Rahab the harlot shall live. She, notice this, and they're all that are with her in her house. Joshua chapter 2 and verses 18 through 19, the spies promised to spare not only Rahab, but her father, her mother, and her brethren. Now let me say this quickly tonight. There is no such thing as household salvation. In other words, my children cannot be saved because daddy saved. My grandchildren can't be saved because my granddaddy was saved or I was saved. That ain't how it works. Every individual has to come to the saving knowledge of Christ on their own. Household salvation don't work. It's not biblical. It's a false teaching and doctrine tonight. But you see, the decisions that Rahab made affected the outcome of her lives of her own family. She could not save them spiritually, but she could point them to salvation. She could save them the physical hardships and the wicked lifestyle and even death because of her past that was changed in her faith. Think about this tonight. I cannot save my children spiritually, but I can spare them the wickedness of the world. I can protect them from things in this life and put a hedge about them. I'll say tonight that Rahab was the only one in her family that we have a record of making a public profession of faith. Never says that her father said, I believe in the God of Israel. Never says that her brethren made that confession. It was only Rahab that did that. But because of her faith, her family was spared the judgment of God. I say tonight that we do not need to quit or give up, but we need to keep it up. Let me say tonight, you can be the one that rescues your entire family. You can be the one that changes the entire direction of your home tonight. Rahab, as we know, would have a son by the name of Boaz. Boaz's future rested on the fact of his mother, that she had displayed her faith, a harlot who would have faith to rescue her entire family. I say tonight, too many times, the son becomes the father. The daughter becomes the mother. The grandchildren become the grandparents. And the line of sin is never broken. Reminded of my wife, I believe it was in Mississippi or Alabama, talking to one young lady who was incarcerated there in that state. She was with child and she made this statement. She said, this will be the third generation born in this institution. Been many times in a cell block witnessing to men and talking to men. And those men will say, hey, come over here. I want you to introduce you to my son or my father. And father and son is incarcerated together oftentimes for the same thing. You see, the line of sin is never broken because we're not willing to put our faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded of my own story. If you're to go to my home and go into my office, you'll walk into my office, and if you look straight down at my office, there's an old black and white photograph. Now, I've got the photograph on the wall just because I think it's cool. You'll have to forgive me for that. But in that photograph is my great-great-grandfather, a man by the name of Shorty Bass. Shorty Bass stands there, and across his chest, he's got a .38 pistol and a bottle of liquor in his hand. Stands there behind another gentleman, a real tall man in a bowler hat, and he was what I would call a shooter, not a fighter. If you know what that means, I'll explain that later. I'm not going to fight him, I'm going to shoot him. But they're both standing there with liquor bottles in their hands. And I look at that, and I think about where I am today. And I go back in my mind to my great-grandmother named Rosalie. My great aunt named Ruby. There was a moment in time where my great grandmother Rosalie and my great great aunt Ruby made a decision. And they said, you know what? We're not going to go that way. We're going to come to the tent meeting there in Landis, North Carolina. We're going to trust Christ as Savior. And we're going to live a life for the Lord. My grandmother would go on to become a Sunday school teacher. My Aunt Ruby would be a pastor's wife, and she would play piano. And her and a lady by the name of Miss Moose would go on visitation down at the nursing home, and they would get the young preachers to come in and have services in those nursing homes, and they would pray that the bad man would get out of the nursing home. You say all of that was a result of two ladies that said, you know what? I'm going to have a changed past. I'm going to display my faith, and I'm going to rescue my home. As we close tonight, Rahab is known as the harlot. But understand, she was also a mother. She was a mother who left a legacy that would lead to royalty and to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we simply close the thought this evening, I leave you with three questions. Number one, do you have a changed past? So many times we can sit on the church pew and we can put the shirt on and wear the tie and we can smile, but there's no change ever in our past. I think about the day that I was born physically. There was a change that happened in my life. That was my first physical birth. But the day that I was born spiritually, there was a change that happened in my life. Something changed that I'll never forget. I'll never forget that day where my life went in an entirely different direction. Then I think about secondly tonight is our faith on display. When people examine our lives and look at our lives and they look at the storms and the troubles, that they say, you know what? I see a scarlet thread. And I just see the display of faith. And then thirdly tonight, will we be the ones to rescue our family? Will we be the ones to break the cycle? Will we be the ones to say, you know what? I'm going to make a decision. Consider for generations, Rahab's testimony and life changed her entire family outlook. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz beget Obed of Ruth, and Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David the king. Father, thank you for the liberty in preaching tonight. Thank you for the opportunity. Father, tonight I pray you take the message. Lord, may you speak to hearts as you see fit. Lord, I pray that we would be the one. Maybe, Lord, there's somebody here tonight and they can look back on their family history and they see the trouble and the wrecks and the problems. Lord, I pray tonight, maybe there's one here tonight that says, you know what? I'm going to be like Rahab. I'm going to allow my changed past to display my faith that I might rescue my family. Lord, bless the evening. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.